Hi, and welcome to the MVC Storefront, Part 17. This is a real-world application building exercise wherein we build out an e-commerce storefront using ASP.NET MVC, TDD, and a bunch of other cool stuff. My name is Rob Connery. I work for Microsoft. My email is robcon@microsoft.com. Email me with any questions you might have, or you can leave a comment on this blog. Well, if you've probably figured out by now, it's been kind of quiet on my end for a few weeks here where I am kind of busily refactoring everything, and I have it all documented for you, but I can summarize it by saying I've rethought and refactored the shopping cart. I kind of grumbled about this in the beginning where I wasn't sure if I was going to keep a shopping cart object in the model or not, and indeed I have not. The reason I didn't just do this from the beginning is I really wanted to respect the test-driven process. I wanted this thing to shake out organically and naturally, and I thought perhaps maybe some feedback from the community or whatnot would shake me from what I've done traditionally in the past, which is to use the order itself as the shopping cart, because that's really what it is. It's an order in the making. So I have documented that, and I'll show that to you in a webcast today. In addition, I've also been kind of waiting for Preview 4 changes. It was just launched today. A couple of the things that I've had to refactor out, one major thing is there's no more component controller in there. I wrote a blog post about this today, but finally the team has enabled the render action method straight in line, which is pretty cool. A lot of debate raging over that, whether that's true MVC or not. We really need, though, a component story, and that's what we got for right now. So if you have any thoughts on that, head over to the forums and let the team know what you think. So this has largely been spawned by the checkout process, my refactoring here. I want to get it all right. I want to get the store clicking and running. And so I kind of needed to kind of think it through and build things up and really get it nailed down in terms of like the order, the user interactions, and sort of the authentication before I started doing the checkout. Because checkout is the most important thing in the entire application. And some might say, no, it's selling. And that's true, too. But in terms of the technical approach, how you implement checkout and the security and all that stuff is very, very critically important. So what I thought I would do is not just kind of take this upon myself, but I thought I would talk to somebody who is very opinionated, and he graciously agreed, and that's Jeff Atwood. So I sat with Jeff today, the other day I should say, for about 15 minutes. We talked about checkout process, login stuff. We went over card space and OpenID, rehashed that discussion, and it's very entertaining. It's good stuff. So Jeff gave me his thoughts about checkout and whether I should retain user information and whatnot. So without talking too much, let's just jump right to it. I finished refactoring out the shopping cart. There is no longer any notion of a shopping cart in the system here. It is only order and order item that are going to act as kind of the shopping cart sort of concept. And in moving away from that, I've sort of hopefully simplified things a little bit here. So you can see what I've added to order item is a quantity, product, order ID. I've added a property called line total, which I know I'll need, discount amount, date added, all that good stuff. And you can see down here the methods I've added to order, remove item. These are all basically copied and pasted from the shopping cart. In addition, I've added an enumeration here called order status, and you can see the default one here is not checked out. I've also added in the concept of a shipping address, although I'm about to change that. This is kind of mid-refactor, and as I'm implementing and expanding and writing my tests, I'm going to be changing the shape of this, so ignore this for now. I also rolled over the concept of an order ID to a GUID, and I've propagated that all throughout the system. So, to make everything work, I went back over to my tests here. I dropped all the shopping cart tests, and I recreated them under order tests here. And you can see how I am now, I have a whole slew of tests, which test kind of shopping cart ideas, and then also for all the order items. And I tried to make these as granular as I possibly could, and so I'm quite happy with this currently. And so the shopping cart still exists, but it exists only in theory in terms of the order. Finally, back into the website we go, and I've gotten rid of completely the idea of a shopping cart controller, and instead now what I have is, if we come up here, shopping cart controller no longer is being used, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to exclude it from the project, and now what we're using instead is an order controller. And so inside here, we've remapped all this stuff to use this controller and these views. I'm here with Jeff Atwood of CodingHorror.com fame. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate this.
No, you're welcome.
Cool. Well, so Jeff, what I want to talk to you about really quickly is I'm putting together the checkout process for the storefront here. And I'm trying to rethink kind of the user interactions, because what I'm trying to get at with my checkout process is to kind of use current technologies like, I don't know, OpenID, CardSpace, whatever, so I don't have to keep asking the user for this information over and over again, especially emails and passwords. And I wanted to talk to you today about kind of user experience. I know you have an opinion. You brought up Reddit's login, well, a long time ago in one of your blog posts. So explain to me what is your opinion about getting users to use your site, and is it even appropriate for an e-commerce site?
Well, I think the main problem with a lot of e-commerce stuff is you enter the same information over and over, mm-hmm. like your name, your address. I mean, just rudimentary stuff. I'm not talking about like trade secrets like your social security number or your credit card number, although those could be stored as well. But just like basic information about yourself. And it's kind of like in the bad old days of programming where everybody wrote their own file open dialogue. You know, mm-hmm. there was no standard for file open. It's mm-hmm. like, how long are we going to rewrite file open? And it's a little more complicated in the world of the web because, you know, there's a lot of security concerns and, you know, there's a lot of different people that can provide services to you and a lot of different websites that can do things for you. But I think the promise of OpenID in the example that you gave of entering your address is that your OpenID provider could store your name and address and telephone number and things like that. Mm-hmm. And when you go through the checkout process, you could tell the OpenID provider, hey, it's okay to send this card, my identity card, which contains my name, my address, you know, my email address, all the basic information. So it just saves you the time in entering that stuff. A lot of people use like client-side tools to do that, mm-hmm. like RoboForm and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think there's got to be a better distributed way to solve it. I don't think installing software locally is really the right answer to that problem. So that's the way I see OpenID.
So you bring up a good point, because one of the things I'm working with here is InfoCards or CardSpace, and I'm kind of interchangeable. And you know, one of the things that people keep saying is, you know, oh, CardSpace is so heavy or it's so whatever. It's also a client-side tool, but it's also built into an... I mean, where do you sit with that? It's client-side, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's actually part of the operating system in a way.
Well, the interaction point with OpenID and CardSpace is that you don't actually end up typing the password. Because mm-hmm. even with an OpenID provider, you have an OpenID password, mm-hmm. right? For your OpenID provider. So you have mm-hmm. one password that unlocks your identity across, say, 50 or 60 different sites, which is still an improvement. But wouldn't it be better if you never had to type the password? Mm-hmm. And that's what CardSpace does with regards to OpenID. Mm-hmm. There is some overlap there in terms of what CardSpace can do, but in using it with OpenID, the main benefit you get is you don't really have to key in the password. The password is automatically sort of absorbed from the operating system through the browser and goes into OpenID if you use a CardSpace-enabled OpenID provider. Have you used one?
Yeah, I use my OpenID, and I got my CardSpace logging up there. Yeah,
so
great.
If you pick a good provider, see, that's another advantage of the OpenID model. It becomes about like picking the cool provider. You have a choice mm-hmm. of all these different providers that can give you OpenID, and you can pick the one that works best with your particular operating system or you know mm-hmm. your preferences or you know whatever you know. Requirements you have a lot of choice. So
yeah, well, you know, I wrote a blog post on this, and it was all about, and here it is on my screen. It's all about, you know, the idea that you don't need this user information, and a lot of people really didn't like the idea that we were talking about OpenID. In fact, it got a bunch of negative comments on there. In fact, I don't know if you can see, I referenced your Facebook, a repulsion with asking for your Gmail login and password to find your friends. And I gave you a little link right there. But anyway, point being, a lot of people are like, don't champion OpenID. That's phishing central. The idea being that phishing sites are out there. They're going to phish your OpenID login and password, and they'll be able to log in as you everywhere. And what's your point of view on that?
Well, I think that's always going to be true. I mean, if someone gains control of your email account, mm-hmm. let's say you're using super secure whatever software you want to pick, mm-hmm. well, think about the I lost my password link. What does mm-hmm. that do every single time?
Yeah.
Right. And you might have some secret information like your mother's maiden name or the place you met your, you know, significant other or some additional bit of information they ask for, but a lot of sites don't even ask for that. If you control the email address, you pretty much control their password. Mm-hmm. So I think what you have to think about at that point is, like, what are we really trying to secure here? How important is this information, and how much security does it really need? Like, if somebody wants to break into my house is really not that hard to break into. It's not like a fortress, right? I mean, if someone wants to, like, break a window, or say I leave a window open, which we do occasionally, please don't break into my house, you could just climb in through the screen, right? You wouldn't have to do a lot of damage to get in. But clearly, that level of security of just, hey, basically locking your door and, you know, basic community standards is enough. So I think you have the concept of how much security is enough, because programmers love to go to edge conditions of, like, well, what if somebody came to your house with a crowbar? It's like, well, they're going to get in, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I don't think that obviates the benefit of having one login versus 50 different logins. I mean,
Agreed.
It's crazy. I mean, I do not want to remember 50 different logins for 50 different websites.
And let's face it, it's one of those things that we as geek developers always champion and say, oh, well, you must have a different blah, blah, blah for every site. No one does that. No one is humanly capable of that. I mean, would you agree with that?
Well, I do agree with that. And that's another aggravating thing about sites that enforce just ridiculous password constraints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, oh, it's got to be 10 characters, and it has to have, like, an, you know, a number and a lowercase and an uppercase and, like, arbitrary characters. And then what really happens in that case is people just phone it in, right? I mean, you're making it hard for them to just have a basic level of security. So it ends up being counterproductive. You end up defeating the thing that you're trying to do.
Agreed. I had an argument with somebody the other day. I said, you know, I bet every person in the world has a set of 3 or 4 different passwords they work with. One of them is especially for sites like community server-driven forums that require these gnarly strong passwords, right? And not that that's bad, but, you know, I'm not going to remember this heavily encrypted, not encrypted, but heavily jacked up password. I mean, I'm not going to have 50 of those things. Forget it. And if I had to, I'd write it down somewhere, which is even worse. So, well, anyway.
Right, absolutely. And then geeks will say, oh, no, you just need the software, and you install the software on all your PCs, and it remembers everything for you. And it's like, they just totally don't get it on a fundamental level. Like, no, my mom is not going to do this, right?
Oh,
no,
God.
Nobody you know who's not a geek is going to go through all this trouble to have 50 unique, you know, highly secure passwords.
Yep.
It's just not going to work. So, you know, I think OpenID also makes your life easier in that it's code you don't have to write.
Yep.
Like, you don't actually have to store the password at that point. Because in your post, I think one objection people had to it that I kind of agree with, and I'm sure if you read the entire text of it, you explain, but if you look at kill your users table, you still have a users table.
Sure.
The key piece of information you're getting rid of, and this is huge, you're never storing a password for that user. That is huge, right?
Yeah.
Every time you store the password for somebody, that's a social, a security contract for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, a lot of people do use the same password a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
So if one site gets compromised, if only one programmer makes some stupid mistake and stores the password in plain text, or somehow it gets out, all those users are compromised across every site they use.
Absolutely.
Right? So how is that different than people complain, oh, well, OpenID is centralized risk. Well, you already have decentralized risk.
Exactly.
That's actually worse. I think that's the lesson here, is like, stop, don't even try to attack this problem. It's a really hard problem. So many people have tried it and failed. Just push it off onto the OpenID providers, and you'll be a much happier programmer.
Agreed.
And you'll probably get better security as well, unless you're, you know, really, really smart about this stuff and do everything right.
Yep.
You're probably going to get a better solution by doing OpenID, and you'll ultimately end up writing less code, in my opinion. So
agreed.
I think it's win-win, really.
So Jeff, let me ask you a question. I'm gonna play Mr. Wizard. I'm gonna give you a magic wand, and I'm gonna say, you know, if we're at Amazon, I'm picking Amazon just at random. We're at Amazon, and if you had the checkout process of your dreams, in other words, privacy, ease of use, all that good stuff, basically, you know, you get to buy what you want to buy and get out of there really quickly and feel really secure about it. How would that work?
Well, I think it's like the digital wallet. But the wallet would be contained by some website. So I think the current OpenID model is approaching what I would like to see, in that I want it to have, you know, and just like in your wallet, you have several identity cards, right? You would give different forms of identity to different people. You know, I'm not saying your wallet has to be in one location, or it has to contain, you know, one card that you give everybody. You know, there could be a variety of these little bits of identity that you hand out to people. But I really do want it to be centralized in a way that I can use it across a bunch of different sites. Because right now on Amazon, all my Amazon information, I mean, it's never getting out of Amazon, right? I mean, yeah. In terms of my address. And although you can share some things on Amazon, like your wish lists and so forth. But just in terms of the checkout process, it's completely proprietary to Amazon. Mm-hmm. So every new place that I do business with, and I'm sure they love this, right? Because that's lock-in for them. Because Amazon knows, oh, if you go to some other site, you're going to have to key in all your information again. And I'm sure they're, you know, not mm-hmm. wanting to see that go away too fast. But I personally, as a consumer, would like to see some sort of online digital wallet.
I'm getting ready to implement CardSpace here. And I am on the CardSpace homepage, I guess. And this, I kind of quickly want to touch on this. There's a lot of information out there, and I think it's probably a little frustrating to people who are used to the amount of good stuff on MSDN and how-tos and walkthroughs, quick starts and all that with respect to something like ASP.NET. It's just not there for CardSpace. And this is a well-known issue, and I don't want to speak negatively or bash on anything or the team. I will say, however, in that getting to work with CardSpace over the last couple days, it's been a little frustrating finding good code samples. What I'm hoping to do with today's episode is to kind of get you past all that, get you past what I had to wade through, show you some good code you can use, and show you how to implement what I think is a really, really cool technology, and that is InfoCard, as seen by Microsoft, which is Windows CardSpace. Probably the most helpful and best place to start is on MSDN and this page here called Introducing Windows CardSpace. And this is where I got most of my code samples. Notice the date on this is April 2006. That's kind of one of the challenges I've found is that it is a constantly moving and evolving kind of project. However, most of the code samples out there are dated, unfortunately. But anyway, if you read through this, it's a great read. Shows you what, you know, how digital identities work, the idea of the meta identity system that Microsoft is building and working on. And there's a lot to read here, but I do suggest you take the time. So when you're asked for an info card, you get a nice screen pop-up. And I'm sure if you've seen a CardSpace demo before, you've probably seen something like this. Your screen goes black if you're using Vista or XP, and you get to choose a card, or you get to create one. And I'll show you that in just a second. It's pretty easy to do. You can just click on a card and say send it. You can see right here. The interface looks a little different than this right now. But you can click send it. You can also view information about the website. Once again, I'll show you that in just a bit. This is an article from MSDN Magazine in April 2007, another great read. So you can see up here my Google search, like CardSpace code sample MSDN, found it first shot. So we'll get into this a little bit more detail, but what I do want to do is just scroll down here. This is an awesome read, and it's really, really informative. Kind of goes over the same stuff on the original MSDN article I was talking about. And probably a little bit more in-depth pictures here, as you can see. Sometimes those help, man. Good diagrams, they help. But the thing that you really are going to need is, how in the world do I use this thing? And it is right here. Here's the code that you're going to need, and I'll show you this in just a minute. But basically, this outlines what CardSpace is and how it works. It is essentially, if you're using IE7, it is an ActiveX control. If you're using Firefox, it is a plugin. So right there are the two browsers that support it. I won't be showing you the Firefox one today because they don't have a plugin that works yet with Firefox 3. However, with Firefox 2, it works just fine. So just to highlight the rest of this article, if you scroll on down, it shows you all kinds of hacks and things you can do, including code here to detect if the browser actually works with CardSpace. So I'm going to implement all this kind of sniffer code in as I move along here, but today I'm just going to kind of make sure everything works. And so let's move on. I love blogs, and there's no blog I like better than Scott Goo's blog. I'm sure you'll agree with me on this. I was looking for how to do this nicely, and so it's all written here for you. Just type in Scott Goo SSL, and he walks you through this process. It's how I figured out how to do it. But I will walk through it with you right here, right now. So I'm on my IIS manager. This is IIS 7, not 6. And first thing you're going to want to do is to create a certificate on your machine. And so that's easy to do. You just come down here to Server Certificates. Notice here I've highlighted my local server, which is Tunnels, that's the name of it. So what you want to do is just double-click Certificates, and what we're going to do here is click on Create a Self-Signed Certificate, meaning I'm on this computer, I'm validating this computer is indeed my computer, etc. So I'm just going to call this my Dev Certificate, because I'm only going to use it locally here, and you can see it's created it, boom, done, which is pretty cool. That's all there is to it. Okay, well, the next part isn't as simple. So what I'm going to do here is I am going to open up the run dialog here, and I'm going to type in MMC. And what that's going to do is it's going to create a Microsoft Management Console. What I need to do now is work with this certificate. And you can easily do that if you go to Add, Remove, Snap In, Certificates, hit OK, and it's going to show all, whoops, did I not do that right? Looks like I didn't. Add, Remove, Snap In, whoops, I forgot to add it. Say, and the thing we want to do here is the computer account. We'll hit Next, and we'll do Finish, hit OK. So I'm going to drop this open, open up Personal, look at certificates, and boom, there's a certificate I just created. This is my certificate store on my local machine for my computer. So the thing I want to do here is I want to come in here and I want to work with the security. So I want to manage the private keys on here, and you can see that the here's the groups, the security groups that have access to the private keys. We need to give IIS worker process, we need to give it access to this private key so it can use the SSL certificate. So on Vista, that is called network service, which I'm sure you guys already knew. Oops, let me just find this again. Network service. I'm going to pause. Looks like I don't know how to spell today. Okay, so network service is what we're going to want to put in there, and we're going to want to give it read. That's it. Done. Okay, so now that we've done that, we can go back to IIS here, and we can enable SSL for our site. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I can't use SSL using Cassini, which is the built-in Visual Studio web server. Now, this might seem all complicated. It's really not. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a site. I'm going to create an application here, and I'm just going to call it MVC Storefront, MVC SF. And so I will set it to the physical path of my project. Here we go. And hit OK. OK, done deal. So now what I want to go to do here is to go to the website here, and I want to edit the bindings. So if I come in here to bindings, you can see this is the port that we're going to be using, the IP addresses, and so on. But I need to add a binding for HTTPS. So here I'm going to do that. I'm going to leave this exactly the same. I'm going to use port 443. And down here, this is really cool, I get to select my dev certificate. That's it. And we're done. Okay, so now to make sure this is working, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a browser, and I'm going to navigate now to HTTP, and I'm going to go to localhost MVCSF. See what happens. Okay, great. So the store comes up, and so we're only using HTTP, but we know that the site is being served, so that's exciting. So now what I want to do is put in an HTTPS in there and see what happens. And well, this is good too, because that means this the security certificate's being served. But the problem is that it's not routing properly. In other words, their certificate is issued for a site with a different name. And so to find out what that is, we can go click on the certificate and find out. I'll just tell you. The issue is that I am using localhost instead of the name of my computer. If I use the name of my computer, it's done. Good deal. So now we have a certificate. If we click it up here, you can see the identification. You can say, you know, view my certificate, and the certificate pops up. You can see details all about it. It's that easy. So, you know, I know it took me a few minutes to explain this, but really, it's painfully simple to start working with stuff like this. Okay, well, now that I've done that, I'm ready to implement CardSpace. So let's do that next. I should point out really quickly that I've upgraded my site to Preview 4, which was just launched today. And so with that, we have lost, unfortunately, the component controller, which was my little baby. But what we have gained is the ability to do what's called render action. I'm going to have a blog post coming up about that. But what you can do is you can render an action straight into a page, which is just awesome. So it means I can render anything I want. As long as it's an action, I can render it out to a page. So as such, I've had to refactor a little bit, taken my component controllers, made them into real controllers, which is great because now I can test them. And so that's kind of what you're looking at. But to enable this scenario, what I've done here is I've created a page for authentication and login. As you've seen in kind of previous snippets in this webcast, I've done a ton of refactoring. And so what I've been doing recently over the last few days is to refactor in a login page with CardSpace. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to refactor this one more time, because right now it's kind of the, and I'll show you the flow in just a minute, but it's sort of the way it's always been done. I want to refactor this to be a little bit easier. Okay, so What I've done here is I've created little reusable code snips that you can take and reuse. And you can see I have one here called CardSpace Login. And I'm going to output that on the page, but here is what it looks like. And really quickly, what this code is doing is I'm checking, and I know there's a better way to do this, but I'm checking to make sure this page is under HTTPS. If it's not, I do not want to display it. Next thing is I'm redirecting or creating a form that redirects off to the authentication controller, and it's going to run a CardSpace login. And then I have a few other things to check about the return URL and so on. And finally, here is my declaration for CardSpace, the CardSpace prompt. This is an ActiveX control, or it's going to be at least, as seen by Internet Explorer. And in here, I am telling it these are required. This information, following information is required. And given name is a first name, surname is last name. I want email, and I want all the street and address information. The reason why is this is going to happen during checkout. And so if a user has an address card they want to just use, they're done. Good deal. I don't need to ask them for any login or password information because that is why we're using CardSpace. I already trust them if they have a card. I already know who they are. So that's how we're going to do that. And you can see I'm putting a message here if we're not under SSL. And so that's CardSpace. The other logins I have, which I'll show you up here, is I also have just regular username and password, and I have an OpenID login. And I'll show you that page right now. So if I come up here to home, and you can see I have stuff in my cart. If I go navigate to my cart, and I want to check out, it's going to detect now that I'm not logged in. And here's my login login page. And it's worth noting, again, that I'm using Preview 4. And the way that it knows to redirect me is awesome. It's one of the new features of Preview 4. If I come in here to my order controller, you can see in here, in checkout, I simply have an authorize attribute or an authorize filter. So it's an action filter you can throw on there. You can also customize it to a bunch of different stuff, which is just great. I threw that on there, good to go. Okay, so now if I come back here to my site, you can see here that I now have used an info card to check in. Woohoo! Or you can use OpenID, and I've got my ID selector here. Or you can use an email and password. Now, I don't like this. I find it's intrusive to the checkout process, and it's something that Jeff Atwood and I spoke about the other day. I want to make this a little bit more streamlined, so I will rethink this. But for right now, I think this is a great example of how to do this. So first thing I'll do is if I want to check out using InfoCard, I can click this. And it's so secure, you can't see what it's asking me right now. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit Print Screen, and I'm going to show it to you. Okay, so I did a print screen really quickly and threw it to a JPEG, and here's the deal. It says, here's the information, and it's taken a look at the SSL certificate, and it's a site verified by itself, which is exactly what we got, a self-signed certificate. And so once we get that part, we get to choose a card to send. And otherwise, we can say, no, I don't want to use this. That's a very secure thing. You can see how it's all blacked out. Nothing can interfere with this access, so that's nice. So the next part of the deal here is the selection of the card, and I'll show you that right now. So I've already created a card. This is my card right here. I just called it Me, if you can see. I also have a couple other cards here, and this is one given to me by VeriSign. I'll show you that in just a second. If you don't have a card, you can click Add a Card right here and create your own. And so let's pretend I don't actually have a card. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click Add a Card, and I will snap a picture of that process and show you in just a second. So here's the place that you create a new card. It's really simple. You just put the data in. You can choose a picture if you like. And all this information gets sent along to the website. And I'll show you how that's done in just a second. But for right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send along the card I've already created. I just want to show you how easy this process is. So let's assume that I have clicked send and I've sent in an XML, I've sent in my info card. So I'll show you the code for picking that up right now. Right here is the name of my object. My CardSpace object, and I just called it XML token. This is what all the samples have, and you can call it whatever you want. And when it's sent in, it is encrypted and wrapped up in XML. And I'll just show you essentially what that XML looks like. I wish I could format this better for you, but it's basically uses this thing called SAML. It's kind of like XAML, except S means security, and that's all I really know. But anyway, if you go through here, you can see all the information that's being transferred. And what you end up with is a secure site user identity, and that's what we're going to be interested in. You don't need to digest all this stuff. In fact, it doesn't even look like this when it's sent along. What it looks like is a highly encrypted, it's actually encrypted twice on the way in, so it's pretty secure when it, by the time it gets to you. So since I'm sending this off to my authentication controller, let's take a look at that. Okay, well in here, just my authentication controller, you can see I have a basic login, I have OpenID login, and Cardspace login. I'll go into OpenID login a little later, but you can see I'm just asking for the XML token and a return URL if it's there. If it's not, what I'm doing is I'm sending that token into the address constructor. An address is part of my model. And so let's go ahead and take a look at that. And inside my model, here, I have an overload for the constructor, and I'm using this Microsoft.IdentityModel.TokenProcessor. And this is a little utility tool that I've added in, some sample code from Microsoft, so you don't have to do all this stuff. You can see it's as easy as this. I just create a token. It goes ahead and unencrypts it all using all the unencryption bits that are part of it, which I know really very little about, and I should probably know more. But what you should know here is what I'm doing is I'm setting the username to the unique token ID, and I'll show you that in a second. But it's that simple. Again, we don't need to validate this user. They have validated themselves to our site, guaranteeing that they are who they say they are, and I can take that token because I have a handshake essentially with their computer and them, and so we trust each other, so that's good. So I pull out the user address, and then I save it. And I save it down in, and then I set a personalization cookie using the username. I have their full name now, so I can remember them with a nice full name. And then I just authorize them and redirect using Forms Authentication, as you can see here. I just set a quick cookie, and I redirect them off to the return URL. I'm also setting a couple cookies here. I'm setting one so I know the shopper's username. I can remember that in the future. And secondarily, I'm setting one with a name so I can greet them and say hello. Again, a lot of this is going to change. This is sort of prototype stuff, so I just kind of want to get past this whole process. So now what I'm going to do is come back up here to the process. You can see I have a thing in my cart. If I come back over here to my checkout, or excuse me, to my basket page, you can see I have links here to check out. If I click on that, it takes me back over here. If I click on an info card, again, you can't see this, I'm choosing my card to send. I'm sending it now to the site, and it redirects me off. And it knows exactly who I am because it's read the info card. But it's logged me in, just like that. If you're wondering why it says my cart's empty, is I have to run some migration code because I'm going from a non-recognized to recognized user. So that's just something I need to do in the future. So that's as easy as it is to work with Cardspace. Done. So I'm sure there's going to be refinements coming along. I just wanted to show you that. Okay, so let's branch into number two. I've implemented OpenID, so I want to show you how that's working. I'm going to log out really quick, and I'm going to go back now, and I'm going to add some things to my cart. I'm just going to add some boots. And this is a little URL silliness that I have to deal with. And just ask you to hold on while I put in. You know, I run into a problem where this, for some reason, since I'm using this root now, it's not being respected within MVC with the tildes like it should be. So there's a bug in there, and that's exactly what you just saw happen. So if I go to my cart and I want to check out now, the process is simply, basically, do we know who you are? And I can say, well, sure you do. I'm using OpenID. And I've already verified with OpenID to let me into my site here. So that's just as simple as that is. The idea here, I'm also showing OpenID, or excuse me, Cardspace one more time, because if someone has a different card they want to use, I want to be able to have them click on this and have it immediately fill out these entries. Something I'm working on right now, but this is the beginning of the checkout process. I'm trying to make it smooth and seamless. You saw just now how I hit yes, OpenID, let me in, and I'm in. Ideally, in the future, we're going to have addresses that the user's already added to the site, and we're going to ask them, can we save this for you? Hopefully they'll say yes. And then showing up here on the left or the right side somewhere will be like an address book where they can click and say use this address. Okay, well that's pretty much the process as it's wound out with OpenID and Cardspace. I'm really interested to hear your comments. This is just the intro to the checkout process, and that's about it for now. So thank you very much for watching. Thank you.